It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
No matter how many times I hear it, it still takes me back. McGonagall. Those were the days. These are pretty good days as I'm filling in for Boomer and Geo along with Willie Colon right here on The Fan. Talked a lot of baseball to start the show. Obviously, Mets back in action tonight after an off night looking to, you know, get a good pitching performance. So much about the amount of innings that the Mets are pitching tonight. Clay Holmes will be on the mound. And I wonder, you know, if they're going to decide to call up one of these kids. We talked about it yesterday. Now, they've got 16 games in a row, the Mets here, coming up. 16 in a row. Now, they have a bunch of pitchers who don't go deep into the game. They have a bunch of pitchers who have been more successful on extra days rest. So I am curious to see how they handle this. They're going to need probably, I mean, if they're going to use another pitcher, it's probably this weekend. And I wonder if we get any news in the next couple of days if they decide.
Sprouts.
Yeah, bring up a Sprout. I mean, I think it's either him or McLean. I do not think they would go Tong, who they just moved up to AAA, you know, just a couple of days ago. But, like, you are looking for a stabilizing force here. Like, this is a big start from Clay Holmes. Like, you can't, like, this is a big series against Atlanta. It just is. And, you know, watching the Yankees do what they normally do to the Minnesota Twins, like, it is a different feel. And we thought it might be different last year, if you remember the doubleheader, and they win that game in just crazy fashion to secure their playoff spot. And you just thought that this team, the Atlanta Braves, have been bad from day one. They were 0-7 to start the year. Like, the Braves have not been good since the start of the season. And yet, it's felt the same when the two teams have met. Have you, like, I'm curious, like, because I'm trying to think of, like, obviously the Patriots, whatever. Like,
Right. Is
there that feeling? Because this is a big game. The both teams are floundering, but the Braves aren't good. The Braves are still dealing with injuries. The Mets are a better team, even though they've played 18-31 since June 13th. As I'm watching SNY right now, 18-31 since June 13th. But they've got to not only win these games, they got to buck the trend of what's gone on with Atlanta. Have you ever, like, stepped on the field with a team and just got that feeling, like, we know things don't go right against this group, or we, like, has there been that thing?
Correct.
That,
and jinx?
Then, yeah, and like then when that. You overcome it, is there a feeling that you can benefit from it?
Well,
like, can you, like, I guess my question is, if they go out and beat the Atlanta Braves, even though the Atlanta Braves are bad, like, it can be a feeling like, hey, this is the team we never
played
well against.
It goes back to what we were talking about with the Yankees. Like, yeah. Even though there's not much to celebrate because it is the Twins and the Twins aren't a good team,
right.
It does feel like a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
There's some normalcy to it, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Mets are trying to acquire going, you know, starting a series against the Braves. I think right now, if you're in Mets, it's your bullpen, right?
Right.
You got to get more than five innings out of them.
Like, and the starting rotation.
We talked about how much Will Warren going into the seventh meant to the Yankees bullpen and how much that was a lift for that team.
Yeah.
And valid, the bats had to pop for the Yankees. But the same thing has to happen for the Mets. They got to figure it out. How can they get more out of that bullpen? Because that takes the pressure off Lindor and Alonso,
sure,
and Soto. So with all that said, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, who's ready to step up.
Yeah.
And how and in what fashion.
No, I agree. And they've got to get more length. But I think hopefully, like, I look at these series, and unfortunately, I looked at last weekend the same way. I thought taking on the best team in baseball gives you an opportunity. It's hard.
Well, I thought that would have turned. If they would have not,
right,
if they would have rocked up the Brewers, I mean, that would have been,
right,
that would have been a pivot, a much needed pivot that would have changed the trajectory of the season.
Right. You're looking for those kind of moments here because you need to snap out of it as well as play better baseball. Same thing I thought over the weekend with the Yankees, an opportunity against an Astros team that has historically played very well against them and have been the obstacle of getting to another championship over the last 10 years. And they failed, and both teams failed at it. And now this week right now, the Yankees check one on the return to normalcy series,
right,
against the Minnesota Twins. But the Mets are playing a bad team in the Braves, but a Brave team that's really struggled against them. I wonder if these are the kind of wins you're looking for. Like, there is the opposite of what we talked about. Say they win a big game tonight. Pete Alonso breaks Darryl Strawberry's record.
Oh.
You know, Clay Holmes goes six. Diaz comes in and gives you a save. And, you know, the trumpets are blaring. Pete Alonso's breaking Strawberry's record. They beat the Braves. Can that be the kind of game?
Yeah, it's the wake up from the nightmare that everybody's been waiting for.
Yeah.
And so that's what you hope happens.
Right.
I think right now, if you're the Mets right now, you have to now understand that time is ticking.
Yeah.
And I mean, Soto said it last week, and I think we kind of, not to be redundant, talked about it yesterday when he was like, listen, we're doing everything we can.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're in this space.
Right.
But You are.
Yeah.
And so saying that is one, good that you acknowledge it, but something has to be done.
Yeah.
And we talked about it too. When you make that type, when you make the money you're making,
yeah,
people are not going to say, hey, we want to hear you figure out how you guys are going to get out this jam.
And there's something to it, like, you know, about the time, like you mentioned the clock ticking, and clearly it is, but there's still like so many games. Like football
is
so
different.
Yeah, we're
not even in September right now.
Football, I mean, they still have 2 months. Now, look, it doesn't mean that the clock isn't ticking. I wholeheartedly agree. They got to start playing better.
Well, they also have the tools to correct it.
Right. They have the tools to correct it. They have the time to correct it. And in baseball, it's such momentum from day to day, and they play every single day. If you can get hot, if you can get a Lindor to carry you, football's completely different.
Every game means something.
Every game. And when you talk about a clock on a football team, like, it has to change immediately.
The thing about football, too, in reference to every game means something, is because injuries happened. Like, 1 week, like, look at training camp right now. I mean, across the league, like, Landon Dickerson, the guard for the Eagles. I mean, he's down with a meniscus. That's a big blow to the offensive line, right?
Yeah.
Especially after a line that just lost Mekhi Becton going to the Chargers, right?
Right.
So now you're talking about this Super Bowl outfit really kind of taking a couple steps back because the strength of that team was their offensive line.
Right.
So in reference to every game meaning something, because you don't know who's going to get hurt and how that impacts your team.
Right.
So you got to kind of go for it every week and somehow, you know, pray that you come out on top of it.
Yeah.
But for baseball in this reference, man, you're really just fighting for momentum.
Yeah.
That's what you're fighting for.
Right. And it's just so different because the baseball, like, you know, you play 162. The idea it's early, the idea that football, there is no it's early.
No.
Like that, it starts immediately. Every game means everything. And that's why we were talking about the start of this team. I heard Pat Boyle doing the update. Or the Sports Minute talking about how important it is for Cincinnati, who got off to a terrible start last year. Like, every team is looking for a good start.
Yeah.
There's not a team in the NFL that would be okay. I mean, you immediately, 0-2, we start talking about, you know, only five teams in the last 15 years have made the playoffs starting 0-2. And, like, it's immediate in the NFL. And I feel like, on some levels, it makes it more difficult in Major League Baseball to turn that clock, to flip that switch. Because for so long, you're in the process of, okay, there's tomorrow, there's always tomorrow, there's always tomorrow. And in the NFL, that's not the case. Tomorrow is we're looking at film and we better get it together because, you know, we don't play until next Sunday. And, you know, there's only 17 of these bad boys.
Like, I mean, we're just looking at the Mets schedule just now.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the series against the Braves, then they turn around and got the Mariners.
Right.
And then I forgot who was the other one. Then they turn back and got the Braves. And so, like, you talk about momentum. If they clean up the Braves and they battle against the Mariners, like we're in a week or so, we're talking about the Mets in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
Solely off what they're able to do tonight against the Braves and how they're able to get the series done.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And listen, as a Yankee fan, I'm hoping they did nothing for us when it came to Cleveland. As I'm looking at hopefully Seattle, they can take care of business, as Seattle right now is the leading wild card in the American League. But yeah, listen, the schedule isn't, you know, they have the Braves and the Nationals here mixed in with the Mariners. This is the time you're looking to get going. And
this is the rally you're waiting for.
This is the rally, and then you get the Marlins, who have been a lot scrappier than people expected, but still not a team that I think you can talk about is one of the teams that can compete with the Mets as far as talent level. And then you get the Tigers and the Reds, which might actually be the biggest. You got, like, Mets versus Reds, Mets versus Phillies on the road. Like, that's tough. That's where you get.
So these
that's
are
the beginning
of
September. You need these games right now.
Right.
Like, that's where, and that's where you try not to look ahead. And you try not to do more than just the day in front of you, but it's hard when you're not when you're not playing well and you're trying to get this thing back on track. It's got to happen now. And for this Met team, it starts tonight with a pitcher who, you know, has been in many ways the face of this year's pitching lab. You know, the Mets have made decisions like running out to sign Frankie Montas. They've turned around the careers of Severino and Manaea, and they've done a really incredible job without bringing in an influx of, like, top level talent. And to just take Clay Holmes out of being a failed reliever with the Yankees and turn him into a starting pitcher who really, for a lot of the start of the year, had been excellent, although not going deep. Like, they need him. He's one of the guys that you feel good about right now for the most part.
And Kodai.
You
feel good about
Singer. I don't know. Not since the injury, you don't. And I mean, yes, he's got ability, and he still has the swing and miss on the forkball on the ghost pitch. But, like, this is a big start. These are big games against the Braves this week. So hopefully the Mets can turn it around as they're battling for a wild card spot right now. I would have never have guessed. It's unbelievable where this baseball season is. I know we've done a lot of the optimism football. I want to get back to that next segment and talk about part of the Giant team that really makes me do makes me feel optimistic about them. But where this these two baseball teams are after the start. I mean, the Mets had the best record in the sport. The Yankees were 17 games over 500. I don't know if we've ever seen both teams collapse
fall off a cliff.
I mean, just they are the two. They, I think since June 13th, they are two of the top four worst records in the sport. That and that June 13th wasn't yesterday.
No,
like we're today's the 12th. We're tomorrow's 2 months.
The kids are going back to school.
Yeah, kids are going back to school. This is two months of the Mets and Yankees being the two worst teams in baseball. That is hard to fathom with how it started. So hopefully tonight they get it done. Hopefully tonight Pete Alonso can come through with a big home run and break the record, because maybe that'll be a little bit of an icebreaker also. And we got some, you know, some other stuff around the Yankees too. I don't know if you saw. Gerrit Cole started a throwing program. Now, obviously, he's not going to be part of this year. You're going to look to have Gerrit Cole back next year. But there was something that made me love him even more. He's growing a mustache. Have you seen? Did you see the?
I haven't seen mustache? Them before. I throw rocks. Yeah. I want to see. Can we get a picture of the
well,
mustache?
Well, I just I mean, I
don't want to throw rocks at him.
See if we could find the Gerrit Cole mustache. He was doing interviews yesterday. It's a very like almost
not pencil-y, right?
No, but it's very light. It's very blondish. It's not like a dark.
It's not a dye
mustache.
Job. It's a dye.
No, it looks. It just looks. I was trying to think of it because we were talking about wrestling, and I was, when you mentioned wrestling, I was thinking Hulk Hogan. It's almost like a Hulk Hogan colored.
Hogan,
like,
is it's Hogan-ish?
Like it almost disappears into his face, almost like it's like
really?
Yeah, it's unique.
Like a sandy blonde,
yeah, kind of like a sandy blonde. I was surprised, and now
that's the reason
mean,
why he didn't.
I don't know, but I'm just saying I happen to take my mustache very seriously.
You do,
so, yeah, big time mustache.
Like, what do you mean? Like,
well, because I can't grow any, I can't grow facial hair anywhere else but my face. I am 41 years old, going to be 42. And I can't grow a beard if you paid me.
Have you made ever made any attempts?
You said you can't grow facial hair anywhere but your face.
Well, I meant my lip. I'm sorry, that's a good point. I meant my lip.
I caught that. I was going to let that slide.
I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. I knew what he meant. No, I just didn't want to attack
anything
him for
below,
it.
Below my jawline, I can't do. But like the beard, I just can't at all. I can't grow anything here. So like I've held on to this as much as some people, you know, hate it. I have held on to it because it's all I've got. And I feel like anytime anyone grows, I am a kid.
Can the mustache get
when
bigger?
When I was a kid, growing up as a Yankee fan, my first guy, Wade Boggs.
Oh, yeah.
My first guy was Wade Boggs.
I loved him.
He played third base, and he grew a mustache. That's all it took. I've been a mustache guy my whole life. And the idea that Gerrit Cole is on a throwing program, and now he's growing a mustache, I mean, there was just a little part of me that helped. It actually felt better than the win against the Twins.
Well, I support the mustache. If you didn't have the mustache, you would look like Peter Griffin.
I know. And
I mean,
you know how many people say that?
I swear to God.
I know. I get it all the time. I don't know why. I guess the glasses, yeah. And the little bit of the gap tooth, which I won't fix either. I'm big on that,
too. Yeah,
the
gap tooth's fine.
I'm not fixing it.
My little girl has a little bit of the gap tooth.
And I got mad, and the captain, Aaron Judge, listen, you can't strike out in the World Series as much as he did either. But you can't go fixing your gap tooth. I feel like
he
fixed it. Strahan,
that's probably because his wife told
Strahan
him
Strahan has stuck with us. Strahan has been there for
us.
But
now it's like it's just it's part of him.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
He's owned it. I know. Yeah. I hope maybe one day I can own it as much. But I've always taken pleasure. When I was on sports teams, I was always the guy who could, you know, project water, you know, 12, 13 feet through my gap teeth. We would, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Walking water founder.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So, but like, yeah, I was disappointed when Judge did it. I'm glad that Michael Strahan has kept it, although, you know, maybe avoid, you know, waving Eagle flags. I would appreciate that.
Right.
But yeah, the idea that Gerrit Cole is coming back, throwing program, growing a mustache, hopefully that could be something that sparks the team.
I'm always for like the, what's that scene in Rocky where he goes off in the hills? And he's training at the log on his back.
Rocky IV.
Yeah, he's got the sheepskin leather. He's kind of doing his duck walks. Yeah. And he comes with that grizzly beard.
In the burning heart? In the burning heart?
Yeah. He's got the warrior face. I'm always, if that comes out of that, I'm for it.
No, listen. Yeah, and are you a Rocky guy?
I like Rocky. I don't know if I'm a Rocky guy. I can't quote.
Can't quote the movie?
Well, I know what I know.
Okay.
There's no tomorrow, Rock.
Yeah, there is no tomorrow.
Him and Apollo in the ring.
Yeah. No, because that was another Francesa thing. He hated all the sequels.
Why?
I don't know. They're too montage-y, I guess, you know.
Really?
And then the Rocky IV at the end, you know, if I can change and you can, while he's saving, well, while yeah. while he's ending the Cold War in the middle of the ring.
He
like,
just
yeah,
couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
I think 80s movies rock, by the way.
I agree. A lot of people don't like it. I know Quentin Tarantino is for one. I just saw him do a whole thing on how 80s movies sucked.
No, I mean now.
Well, now movies.
Now we have AI and H. You know, everything's 4K. So when you look at some of that stuff, but I loved all that stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I thought the sixth Rocky was not bad. I thought
the
that was
Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, that was the one with Antonio Tarver. Was that the guy he was fighting?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was
right. And that's the one with the famous speech: "The sun shines and rainbows."
Right. I thought it's not an Oscar winner.
Six Rockies.
Well, then they made five Rockies.
I call it the sixth one.
Yeah, they made five Rockies.
Yeah.
And then they made Rocky Balboa, which I guess is Rocky VI, but they didn't call it that. They called it Rocky Balboa when he had his comeback from retirement in one match. And now they've had the Creed movies.
Yeah. The Creed. I love all the Creed movies.
I have a real problem with the first one, though.
The first one's the best one.
I have a real problem with it.
That's not good with someone there.
There's a couple of movies.
I didn't see one of them yet.
There's a couple of movies, and I'm big on this. If there is a scene in the movie that I can't watch from embarrassment, then I the whole movie is ruined for me.
What sign?
There is a scene in Creed where he's training. They're doing the montage of like the mock Rocky where he's running with the
motorcycles behind him.
With the motorcycle.
So what? It's a Philly thing.
It's
a cultural thing.
But then he shows up to Rocky's apartment or whatever, and Rocky's like upstairs dying of cancer, and he's got like and he's waving down, and they're doing wheelies around him. Why are they doing wheelies around
him?
It's
a Philly
thing. He's like this, and they're doing wheelies, and Rocky's up sick. I can't even watch it.
Let's go to the break.
All right. But that scene is so bad. I
disagree.
I gotta like watch it through the like slits in my fingers. It's so, it's that bad.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Yeah, let's dance. 8:29 on this Tuesday morning. Chris McMonagle and Willie Colon filling in for Boomer and Geo today. We got Chris Lopresti. Chris Lopresti. What was that? F this, F that.
That was from last hour
when I was
ripping on the adults who curse in front of kids.
Oh, yeah.
F this, F that.
F this, F that.
Right.
All right, well, Lopresti's back. Anything else?
Anything else?
Yeah, you want to scold the people on?
Nothing
else?
I see. You had another soapbox moment?
Yeah,
nothing
else you want to just...
Actually, the opposite.
Holding people
accountable? We're going to do hand-up accountability here.
Oh,
okay. Geo's big on. All right, so first I'll tell you we're sponsored by Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of MLB, Major League Baseball, trademarks used with permission. So, yes, the latest surefire sign that I am indeed getting old. Committed a faux pas last hour that I used to notice in my younger days at the Fan, where someone on the air would default to the past on a common last name and miss ID the current player for a former player.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if I slipped this past you.
Yeah, I think you did.
Or if you were just going easy on me. And if you were, shame on you.
Because
you got to call me out when it's...
Believe me, I said...
You got to call me out when
I called you out for the soapbox.
Yes. You got to call me out when it's warranted. No disrespect to Adam Warren. He pitched a nice ball game last night.
Adam Warren.
Is impossible since Adam Warren last pitched for the Yankees in 2018 and the big leagues in 2019.
Yeah.
Will Warren, however, threw a nice ball game last night. 6 2/3 of 2-run ball, 7 strikeouts, and the offense did what it usually does when the Yankees face the Twins.
Jazz Chisholm to lead off against Rosmo Ramirez, bottom 8, 3-2. Here's a high drive right field. Line drive, goodbye. Six rows back, Jazz Chisholm with a line drive home run. 6-2 Yankees here in the eighth inning.
That's Dave Sims here on the Fan. Fourth solo homer of the night for the Yanks. It capped the scoring in a 6-2 series opening win over Minnesota. Yeah, Clay Bellinger. Cody Bellinger. To be fair, we did just see Clay over the weekend at Old Timers Day.
We did.
Cody Bellinger in the first. Stanton and Rice back-to-back in the third, and you heard Jazz there in the eighth. For Rice, another ball scalded off the bat, and he's also settling in behind the plate, at least at the big league level for Aaron Boone.
Yeah, he's doing great. I feel like he's getting more and more comfortable back there, seeing more and more of a presence and confidence and just the game sort of slowing down for him a little bit back there. So another strong one for him.
And he worked nicely with Will Warren, who's building confidence the more he becomes a mainstay in the starting rotation.
It's nice knowing that I plan on taking the ball every 5 days and I can lean on that. And now it's to the point of like, all right, let's go, you know, put us in a chance to win, give us a chance to win, go deep into games like, you know, we did tonight.
Luke Weaver, David Bednar handled the final 7 outs without allowing a base runner. No Devin Williams deciding in this one, and if it were up to the great John Sterling, He would remain tucked away out there in the bullpen, never to be seen again.
I can actually tell Aaron Boone something. I wonder if he's listening. He's a good friend. And I'm going to tell him, don't pitch Devin Williams. Okay? You know, I know you want to, but don't. Don't. Okay, that's my great advice for Booney.
That's John from his, I believe it's a weekly show on WABC Radio.
Odd choice of music to put on. It was
very dramatic.
Very dramatic.
I kind of like that, actually.
Did you?
To it, yeah.
When it picked up at the end, maybe a little bit, but at the beginning, I was like,
somber.
What is this music?
Had a little 8 Mile vibe to it.
Yeah, maybe a little.
But yeah, that was an odd one. But yeah, no, I... Hard to disagree.
Can I ask you a question? Who pulled your card on the whole Adam Warren and Will Warren?
I had a gentleman reach out on mentions on Twitter X, which I appreciate.
Yeah. I heard you say it, but I was like,
Yeah. I'm sure he was kind to you.
He was.
Oh, good.
It was not a you moron. No. You know, it was just like, you know.
Do you get those?
Oh, we all get them.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
My goddamn fault. I apologize.
Do we get those? I think I've gotten three. I'm surprised you haven't broken the chair yet today, and it's only 8:30.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's...
On social media.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you kidding me? You gotta live with it. You gotta live with it.
Chris is like, I swim in insults.
We all do, you know.
That's how it goes.
You're the worst thing on the history of a fan, you know.
So, yeah.
I'm glad you guys receive it, because you guys now know the life of an athlete.
Maybe.
From a small
athlete of the year 2001, so I've kind of known the life of an athlete, but I hear what you're saying.
I'm just saying, the ridicule. No,
I know.
I'm not even going to go that far.
No, because, I wouldn't go that far.
You know,
either.
Athletes getting death threats and stuff, man, I never received anything like that. So.
Yeah. I haven't ruined anybody's fantasy weekend.
Right.
So. That's true.
At least not yet.
Not yet. There is still time. Yes. Middle game of the series tonight. Carlos Rodon for the Yanks. Twins are going with a bullpen game. We've got pregame coverage at 6:25 here on the Fan and the free Odyssey app. Last hour, we had Chris Russo commenting on Aaron Boone with Joel Sherman and John Heyman of their podcast. This hour, Sherman's turn and focusing more on the Yankees front office should things fall apart down the stretch here.
I think it's very, very hard to justify whatever you leave intact. Not bringing in a voice that has not just as window dressing. Hey, Brian Sabian's in the room. Omar Minaya's in the room. A voice that says you're doing it wrong. And if you don't change, that is lunacy. Because you will keep repeating this.
I think we need some of that backing music that Sterling has.
Yeah, and a little dry.
Added a little bit more.
But that's what and that's what I was talking about this morning. Like, again, like if the Yankees continue... And the path they've been on of making the ALCS and the World Series, if they continue on that path, it's lunacy!
To be fair, so I said if things fall apart, because he did, just to shorten the clip, he said, should they not make the playoffs or have like a first-round playoff exit? So.
And I honestly don't disagree. Yeah. They have to make the playoffs. I'm having a little bit of fun, because I think lunacy is a bit much.
Yes.
But I do agree. I mean, you can't miss the playoffs. Everyone should go.
Yes.
I agree.
Elsewhere, last night, the Astros held off the Red Sox in Houston 7-6, despite a home run from Alex Bregman against his former team. Two play-by-play clips for you from that one. Are they the same or different? Here's number one.
First pitch to McCormick.
Oh!
And Tash drills this one. Deep to left center field. And you can kiss it goodbye. Off the community leader's sign.
All right, here's number two.
1-0.
Oh!
And Arias hammers one. Deep to left field. And you can kiss it goodbye. Off the community leader's sign.
So they're obviously different, but it's just interesting. You get the same reaction from the second guy in the booth. That's Robert Ford doing the play-by-play. And the community leader sign out there, whatever, out there in, I guess, left field.
That's very close.
Same time, 9 seconds on both. Similar cadence, the reaction, the end. It's just kind of funny. An inning apart. They're both two-run homers, so some similarities which we laid out there for you. Chaz McCormick in the fourth, his first home run of the season, and Ramon Urias in the fifth, his first home run since joining the Astros in a trade with the Orioles. The Mets are back from their off day. They've got the 1-3 with the Braves tonight at Citi Field, looking to put an end to this 7-game skid, while Atlanta will be going for a fourth straight win. You got Clay Holmes and Spencer Strider on the mound. It's a 7:10 first pitch, Odyssey Mets Radio. Mets are 6 back of the Phillies atop the NL East as Philadelphia beat the Reds in Cincinnati last night 4-1 behind home run number 42 from Kyle Schwarber. But as we discussed earlier, that also means that the Mets now have a 2-game lead over the Reds for that third and final wild card berth in the National League. Also, the Brewers with their 10th straight win, 7-1 atop the Pirates behind Jose Quintana, who's now 10-4 with a 3.44 ERA. And I know I mentioned this to you off the air. This Andrew Vaughn situation was wild, right? So here are the splits. Vaughn with the White Sox, the crappy White Sox, before he was traded to Milwaukee. 48 games, he hit 189 with 19 RBIs and a 531 OPS. He's played in 26 games now for the Brewers, so not quite half, but, you know, somewhere in that range. He's hitting 352. He's got 29 RBIs and an OPS north of 1,000. So you want to talk about turning your season around after getting traded from a crappy team to a team that is the hottest team in baseball right now. And he's pretty much been a big part of leading the charge for why they've ripped off a number of winning streaks here since I think it's the beginning of July, and they've soared themselves into first place atop the Central.
Yeah, sometimes a new scenery is all you need, man.
Yeah, especially in an organization like the White Sox. It has been, I mean, it's not that, it's not that long ago that they were one of the more promising young talented teams in the sport.
Yeah.
Like they were the class of that division for 2 years, and it has completely bottomed out for
them. It sure has.
Well, and the other number you gave there, how about Quintana? Let's be honest. Right? Rush to
Mets,
go sign
Mets
Montas.
Could use him. Yeah.
Go rush to give him $17 million over a year for 2 years. And Quintana was sitting there. And he's pitching to, like, look, he's not setting the world on fire, but a 3.44 ERA. In 99 innings, 10-4. Now, they've been winning, but, I mean, that's a hell of a lot better than
what
Montas has given
to
you.
I don't have it up
what
there.
What the whip is? The whip is 1.29, so pretty much a 1.3 whip.
Not great, but serviceable.
What is Frankie Montas?
Got to be north of that.
Cool whip.
I'm going to say cool whip.
Cool whip.
Very nice. Stewie Griffin. I'm going to go
1.45. Let's throw
a guess out there.
Frankie Montas.
Might be north of that.
His whip is 1.555555.
What's his flump, though?
The flump.
I mean, we're going into crates. We're digging into crates here.
That's a joke. That's a joke.
Yeah, we had the great Joe Beningo going. I shouldn't say we. I was in the newsroom, though, when Gio put it together. Joe Beningo, former midday host, still does Saturday mornings. Before
I'm aware who Joe Beningo is.
I'm sure you do as a Jet fan.
Yeah. Me and Joe go way back.
Is he one of the guys who kill you on social media?
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
See the ones who make it tough to be a Jet? And you have the audio of Flump? Okay, so
Greg, I'm going to read this.
Okay, go ahead.
Created by longtime sabermetrics guru, and I love this, longtime successful AGM. Oh, yeah, he's won a lot. Billy Bean. The stat of femoral leverage under max pressure. Let me say that again for those that, you know, may have trouble hearing this. It's called femoral leverage under max pressure, more commonly known to the people in the know as flump.
Mm. And this is going back a ways before analytics really took off.
Yeah.
So they had him going.
Gio came up with the idea to come up with a ridiculous thing and throw
flump.
It by Joe.
That's the first time I've ever heard of it.
Yeah. Wow. No, it's made up.
It's not real.
And Joe just went into it and then went off.
Yeah. Gio used to get him all the time. Like when New Yankee Stadium opened in 2009, he had him going on like all these special features. Like, you know, you could get on a spaceship that would fly above the stadium.
Holograms of
the former Yankee legends.
You haven't heard the best part.
Oh,
during rain delays, the Yankees will offer spaceship tours of our entire solar system. Okay? Go right into the little spaceship. Boom, you get to see the whole solar system.
Wait, hold on. Whoa. During rain delays, they're going to have spaceships tours of the solar system?
Yes, and there's more, Joe.
What does that have to do with baseball?
So
are we going to the Museum of Natural History here? What is that?
Yeah. So Joe keeps that tinfoil hat in his back pocket at all times.
A little bit. And Summers had it, too. I remember a guy called in one time and got on pretending to be Wilpon. defending the color of the seats. The seats were green at the initial Citi Field.
Uh-huh.
And Steve was screaming about it. Why aren't they Met colors, blue and orange? And someone called in pretending to be...
Fred or Jeff?
I think it was Jeff.
I can't remember.
But I think it was Jeff. And he called in and he started defending it. And he was telling Steve, I don't understand. Why can't it be blue? And well, Steve, you know, we figured there was so much blue in the sky that why put it in the seats? I guess that makes sense.
Oh, man.
That was so funny.
Yeah, we got some gullible guys around here. You know? What can I say? All right, Jets and Giants today. First of two straight joint practices. This one in Florham Park. East Rutherford coming up tomorrow. And then they got the annual preseason game this Saturday. There is another Jet thing I want to ask you about, but we're late. So I'll try to leave a little extra time for that next hour before we finish up today. Okay.
I'm here for you, CeeLo.
I appreciate that.
All right, brother.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right. Chris McMonagle, Willie Colon filling in for Boomer and Geo this morning. I guess just as we're talking here, some scheduling stuff with the Knicks. So, Fleegs, I'm sorry. I'm trying to find it. I don't want to, you know, play the game of I'm dumb. No, hold on one second. So if you could just tell me what we got.
So two Knicks games we now know the dates and times of. Their opening game, they're part of the tip-off the day after the opening night. That's the NBC Peacock, you know, return of all that.
Mm-hmm.
They host the Cavs at 7 o'clock Wednesday, October 22nd.
Okay.
And the MLK Day, the typical matinee game, it's at 5 o'clock this year. That's them hosting Jason Kidd and the Mavs.
Ah, okay.
Let's go Knicks.
Let's go Knicks.
Best of luck to Mike Brown. I'm pulling for Mike
Brown.
Yeah,
listen, we all are.
It's tough.
I was disappointed in moving on from Tibbs. I didn't think it was the right time. This is a huge season for them. All the other injuries, I mean, they are. The path to a championship is as good as it's been.
East is wide
forever.
Open.
The East is wide open.
It doesn't get. I haven't seen it this wide open in a long time.
No.
And the reason I have a little empathy for Mike Brown, because there are a lot of people like me. I didn't want to see Tibbs go.
Sure.
I feel like you could have worked. We could have figured it out. I felt like the trajectory was up.
Yes.
Especially with what he's been able to do and build the culture they currently have. Nevertheless, man, taking over a team that's projected.
Yeah.
To win it all.
No, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
That was part of the reason, too. Like, whoever came in, one, I hated the search. You know, that's old
news.
The search
was brutal.
I mean, I thought the search was ridiculous.
You don't fire a guy, not have anybody in the chamber.
No, and then just to, like, the first move, and whether it's due diligence, which is what people would tell you, the idea of just, like, starting with, let me talk to five teams and see if they want to give me their coach. Like, I just hated everything about it. I don't view Mike Brown as a move up. It's a lateral move at best. But having said that, I'm pulling for him. He's certainly a coach that's had success in this league. And hopefully he can unlock this offense a little bit, especially with Cat and
yep.
and obviously the captain. So hopefully, like, that works and all. But yeah, you're right. He's stepping into a situation right now where
goes left, it's all going to be on him.
There was a standard. I know they lost to the Pacers, but they beat the Celtics. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, he's got to get Brunson and Cat to play together, no doubt. But he's also like, yeah, he's got to get right. If they don't beat the Pacers, failure. If they don't beat the Celtics, failure. If they don't get to an NBA Finals, failure. I mean, that's a tough situation to just start your career with the New York Knicks with.
I mean, outside of Tibbs' ability to go deep in his bench, and he discovered it way too late. I mean, I still have this visual of OG against the Pacers in the Eastern Conference where he's going on a fast break.
Yeah.
And he's going for a dunk, and his legs collapse.
Yeah.
And he's our best defender, and his legs were so tired, he couldn't go up for a two-hand dunk.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this isn't good. And the fact that we figured out way too late that, you know, Mitch and Cat could play on the floor together at the same time
hurt
us as well. And then he went to Shamet when it was like, man, mattered.
No,
at that point,
I don't disagree. And look, I think they went out this offseason and added guys. I think the bench is much deeper. I think the Knicks would have played. I think Tibbs would have played the bench more this year. They went out and added guys who are better than the names you just mentioned in Shamet. And, you know, like, I just think that they would have done. Like, I still don't think Tibbs would have been stuck in his ways given more of an option in the rotation. But
I agree with you, and I don't want to push back too much on
that.
No,
I hear you. Well, he has been set in his ways. There's no doubt.
But the fact that we didn't go to Precious Achiuwa earlier pissed me off. Right?
I got you.
Especially when you started seeing our wing guys fatigue, and they couldn't hold up.
Yeah.
So.
No, I know. You're in the boomer chair, so you have to love Precious Achiuwa.
He was a big Precious Achiuwa guy. I love that guy.
I think the team is better this year. I think this team is deeper this year. I think Tibbs would have probably handled a little bit different, but I understand the thought process that he wouldn't. He runs guys into the ground. That's been his thing. Obviously, you know, guys, the exit meetings and everything became an issue. The team kind of, let's be honest, outside of the superstar, it feels like a lot of the team didn't want him around. So I get it. I'm frustrated by it. But you're right. This next season, as it's going to get started now, who did we say it was against? I'm sorry, I was writing it down.
The Cavs.
As the season starts against the Cavs, who will be dealing with their own issues. Like, they've coming off a disappointing playoff run. They've been proven to be a weak playoff team. You've got the injuries with, obviously, the Celtics, who are a completely different team. They traded away Porzingis, traded away Holiday.
Yep.
They've got the injury to Tatum. You're dealing with the injuries, obviously, to the Pacers. They traded away Turner. This thing is wide open. And it starts, you know, it starts against the Cavs that night, and this is as big a Knicks season. Now, like, because of this, who the Celtics were as returning champions, like, we had high expectations for the Knicks, right? And that the Cat trade was made right before, like, right before the season started, and there absolutely were high expectations. But this year, it just feels like we're going to go into the year with a wide-open Eastern Conference and as big of an expectation on this Knicks team that we have had ever.
Rightfully so, because we've seen the product, right? Like, the Big Cat had one of the, say what you want about him not, you know, being able to play both ends of the court for whatever reason. He had his best statistical season of his career last year with the Knicks.
Yeah.
And I thought for a large part, he started to blend a little bit better with Brunson. I thought that started to come into fruition a little bit. So, I don't know. I'm excited because I feel like, one, we have depth. And two, I like Mike Brown. But I also don't want to see Mike Brown fail, because if he fails, the whole, you know, the whole thing comes collapsing down. And that's the that's the hardest thing about watching Tibbs go. It feels like an end of an era.
Yeah.
And when it shouldn't be. You know, and
it's that's like, a good point.
It feels like, oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
Let's figure out what's next. And it's like, well, no, you know, you're talking about divisional Eastern Conference. You gotta assume.
Yeah, they were on a trajectory.
There's gotta assume NBA championship.
Yeah,
gotta assume.
I don't disagree, and we'll see. Look, I'm with you know, Mike Brown. We'll see. I do think the team is very good. This is going to be a very fun Knicks season. It should be, or it could be a disaster. But there is a lot of expectations on this team and on this coach.